I'm so grateful for each of you. Let's go to our God in prayer. Gracious one, we are welcomed by your Spirit into this place. As we remember, not just in the life of this community, but in the life of all of Christendom, many who have gone before us, we trust, O Christ, that you are before us and behind us, beside us and beneath us, and that we are never far from your Spirit. We ask that as we seek to know who you are and how you make yourself known in the world, we ask that we might understand greater things yet from your holy word. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Laughter is one of my personal favorite expressions of human emotion. I love that people can laugh in about a million different kinds of ways. You have the quiet laughers who laugh a little bit, but sort of almost under their breath, right? And some people tend more to like chuckle, kind of deeper toned, a subdued expression, but a laugh nonetheless. And some people laugh really loudly, but they do it also abruptly. So it's almost like more of like a barking kind of a laugh. And some people, once you get them started laughing, you cannot get them to stop laughing. Once they get started, they get into it and you think they're going to reach the end of it. And then they start all over at the beginning again. It catches their laughter all over again. One of my closest friends is named Adam, and Adam loves to laugh. He laughs well. He laughs often. And I've seen on two separate occasions where my sister Bethany has nearly killed him because they get started laughing and he can't get enough breath in his lungs to keep going. I once saw him army crawl to an open doorway so that he could get fresh air in his lungs in an attempt to survive. Though laughter can sometimes be mean or derisive, the central response of laughter is that of joy, of pleasure, of happiness, this bubbling up of warm and bright emotions. To be on the receiving end of someone's laughter is to share their pleasure and their joy, to get to join in that moment with someone in this bright and happy place. You know how a person feels when they're laughing. You know what it feels like to share in joy and laughter with someone else. And I want you to remember that feeling as we talk about our texts today. Over many of the last few weeks, we've been discussing baptism, asking questions like, what is baptism, why baptism, and who is baptized? For the first question of what is baptism, we read about the way that baptism through the Holy Spirit serves as our seal in the covenant of God as we commit ourselves to the work and life of God. For the second question of why, we read about Christ's work of cleansing us of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, which distinguishes it from other methods of spiritual cleansing. In the third question of who, we talked about Jesus' baptism, about the baptism of the early church, and then our baptism, all of us into one baptism, circumstances notwithstanding. This week, we're going to ask the final question, which is pretty straightforward. What is God's response? We have two different readings today to try to capture the width of this question. And maybe as we were talking about the questions of baptism, maybe this one feels a bit out of place to you. It's not a big picture question. It's not a theological puzzle that needs parsing out according to the identity of the Holy Spirit and the identity of God the Father and the identity of Jesus Christ. It's also not a practical question like, do you get dipped or sprinkled, or is the water supposed to be a certain temperature, or does it need to be running or still? But this question is out of our hands entirely. It's a reflective question about God's reaction to something that we have affirmed and done in Christ, about saying yes to God's invitation. So the place we're going to start, naturally, would be with the baptism of Christ. We're going to read from Mark's rendering in Mark chapter 1. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. So this version of Jesus' baptism is a short one, pretty typical for Mark. He tends to do things shortly and briefly if he can manage it. And it retains the crucial information that the other versions of Jesus' baptism have. We have Jesus coming to be baptized in the Jordan by his cousin John. And as he comes up out of the water, the heavens open, are torn open in this version. And a bird descends on him, a rock pigeon, the Holy Spirit. And then at the last, we hear this voice from God coming from the heavens, speaking the truth of who Jesus is, beloved Son. Now, later in the story of Jesus' life, when Jesus is up on the mountain with a few of his trusted disciples and he is transfigured, we have the same words spoken over him. This is my Son, the Beloved One. But at that point, we get a different ending to God's divine declaration. So at the transfiguration, the words that are spoken mostly to the disciples. And at the end of it, there's an instruction. Listen to him. But at this moment, as Jesus is rising out of the water, the presence of the Holy Spirit, God is speaking more directly to Jesus, it seems, saying, with you, I am well pleased. And this distinction for us is important as we try to understand the weight of this moment in the life of Jesus. From this comparison especially, we can see that this statement of God with the heavens torn open is specific to this event of baptism, of submission, of commitment, of dedication to the work that God is doing, that Jesus undertakes. It doesn't mean that it's not true at other points in Jesus' life. This is not like an exception to the usually grumpy God, but rather it's particularly clear in this moment. This is an affirmation of what Jesus is doing. When Jesus does what is righteous, when he does what is right, when he publicly declares his intent to be dedicated to God, as Jesus is being baptized, God expresses the reaction of all who are in heaven: joy, pleasure, gratitude, happiness. God is rejoicing because of this baptism and what it means, not just for Jesus, but for everyone. This is an important moment in Jesus' life before he enters his public ministry, as he's expressing to these gathered people that he is of God, working for God, and they don't yet understand that Jesus is even more than that. They do not yet understand that he is the Divine One. But this is still a crucial step in uncovering who Jesus is in this life of the world. And in this moment, what is God doing? What is God reacting? He reacts in joy. He is rejoicing. The full redemption of the whole earth, something God has been working for since before the Garden of Eden, has now reached a turning point. Things are about to happen. God is now able to be with God's people, and there is restoration ahead. And so, in this moment of baptism, God rejoices. To contain the importance of Jesus' baptism to one specific thing is impossible. But God gives us an angle through God's reaction to this moment on what it means not just for Christ, not just for humans, but for all things. As joyful as this moment is in heaven, there's not a lot of fanfare on earth. This version doesn't even tell us if the other people who are gathered can hear what the voice is saying. But we know that it's not just what we see that matters, but also what God is doing and how God is responding in the larger universe. God's rejoicing in Jesus' baptism is not to start up a loud party, though Jesus loves a loud party. But this moment of baptism begins a quiet, disruptive revolution. This moment of baptism is joyful because salvation has come for everyone, not just for the man in the water. The kingdom of God has come, and it will overtake all things because of its power and because of its love. This is a joy to be shared, just like laughter. and it will bring people together in new ways because of the joy of Jesus's commitment to his work, the first of many in the world. So then we have to ask ourselves a question of application. What is God's response to us when we commit ourselves in baptism to God? When we repent in the many ways in which we do so, when we return to God, what is God's reaction? Some people who believe themselves to be Christians, and I'll take them at their word, might paint the moment of returning or joining up with God as if God is an exasperated parent sitting in heaven saying, "Took you long enough," or "You're lucky that I'm a forgiving God because you and I both know what you've been up to." Or perhaps even worse, "I'll think about forgiving you, no promises." So let's clear this up. God is not tired of waiting for you to repent. God is not exasperated when you finally commit. God is not slow to offer you forgiveness. God is not begrudging of your place in the kingdom. How can we know that for sure? Well, we're going to read from Luke 15. And the verses won't be on your screen because I extended my passage as I sometimes do on Saturday night as I'm finishing my edits. So bear with me and listen as best you can. Start in verse 3. "So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and he rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost coin.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." So these two back-to-back parables remind us of God's attitude towards those who have strayed, whether we were baptized and walked away for a million different reasons, if we never really knew God and simply didn't know what we were responsible to and for. Because we are God's to begin with, God sees us as lost even if we do not see ourselves as lost. And when God finds us, lost, wandering, how does God respond? With rejoicing. And this rejoicing is not something that God keeps to God's self, but it is something that spills over, shared with the whole population of the heavens, with all of the angelic beings, rejoicing together. There is joy when one sinner repents. Also notice that it doesn't say over one sinner who repents for a new sin that they haven't committed before. It doesn't say over one sinner who finally repents. It says over one sinner who repents. That means for those who are inside and for those who are outside. Those who are baptized and those who are not baptized. Those who are returning fully and those of us who are on the way but made some steps we shouldn't have made. All of these circumstances bring about joy in the heavens, joy in the heart of God, because it means greater freedom and fewer chains to sin. In this moment of returning to God, because we are God's to start with, we are made a centerpiece in a rejoicing community of the heavens. So God's response, our question, in our baptism, rejoicing. In our repentance, rejoicing. Every time we course correct, Every time we listen to the Holy Spirit's prompting in our life, every time we acknowledge our sin, every time we are baptized and fully commit, every time we return to commit, there is rejoicing in heaven. Our God is not bitter for the times that we didn't repent, because those times bear their own consequences. But instead, God rejoices over the freedom and forgiveness that is shared when repentance is at hand. As we end this series, considering our baptisms, there are a lot of different walks and paths and ways of living as Christians present in this space. But many things remain true for those of us who believe. God desires baptism for God's people as a covenant, as a promise of faithfulness, as a seal through the Holy Spirit by the resurrection power of Christ. And because of this, as a marker of those who are in God's kingdom, God rejoices every time we repent, whether it's through the waters of baptism or through our own time of reflection and repentance. In this idea of repentance, giving ourselves to God, we return to the God from whom we came. We are first and foremost God's world, God's creation. And by committing to God, we recommit to the source of our very selves. So our task today, as we weigh all of these things together, as we remember the abundant love that God has for us, the rejoicing that God has when there is repentance, we're going to take a minute to repent together. I'm going to offer a prayer to our God, and we'll take a moment of silence in the middle of it. And when that time comes, I want you to take a look at your life and find a place that needs repenting. If it's connected to your hesitance to be baptized when you know maybe it's the next step for you, then repent of that. If it's something that you're keeping from yourself in the hopes that you can then keep it from God, repent of that. If it's something else altogether, repent. Don't repent if it is not genuine, if it is not prompted by the Spirit, but in order to understand God's joy for us, we must participate in it. We must be confident that God is not waiting to punish us, but ready to rejoice with us instead. Our prayer together. O God, you who made all things, from whom all things come, we acknowledge to you our own hesitation or lack of attention that leads us to places of sin, whether that was sin by our actions or sin by our lack of actions. We ask God for forgiveness, for hearts that desire forgiveness, and we present these to you now. Because of who we know that you are, we know that you receive this in joy, and we ask that in that joy we might be lifted in our hearts to act out of this forgiveness, people who are freed by forgiveness, not bound by the anxiety of things that need repenting. And as you have told us, so we trust that you are rejoicing. God, give us that joy. Amen.
You've been listening to me, Pastor Kana Moore, at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help keep these podcasts free. If you would like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our website at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have any questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our website and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.